You're all bundled up. Are you not? You're not running a heater? I guess it wouldn't make sense to run a heater.
I just got my jacket on, put it on in the morning to take the dogs out, and then just never took it off.
You are you like me? Do you like to wear sweaters and hoodies and stuff as a comfort, as a coping mechanism?
Sure.
Yeah. On my bad days, which for me aren't that bad, I understand some people have really bad days, but on my bad days, I like to sleep in my hoodie and like pull the drawstring all the way around my head, so just like my nose is peeking out, and
Right.
get under the blankets. It's like the babies. It's like babies like to be swaddled. It's like I'm swaddling myself, essentially. But yeah, we haven't talked since the insurrection, so I hope everything's going well. Is
It's I don't know how much we want to talk about that stuff.
No, I just or do you feel safe? Do we need to get a safe word, a code word? We could text each other if one of us needs to be rescued.
Oh, well, from once we're done here, I plan on going to Walmart and buying as much ammunition and gas cans as I can. Maybe I'll see if they've got any used tires at discount that I can make shoulder pads out of.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you cut them up. Use them for chest pads for the kids. Almost like a poncho. If you get one that's correctly curved and wide enough, you could just drill out a head thing. It could be like a poncho for your
Yeah.
kids.
I don't know where you would find an old school hockey mask.
Yeah, you'd have to go to like a Play It Again Sports, but even then,
Yeah.
those are off. You're not going to
Yes.
find any of those.
No, though it's mostly just costume things. So I'll probably have to go to Party City or something. I guess while I'm at Walmart, I also have to pick up some red paint so I can put some red spatter on the hockey mask.
Yeah, or I mean, you could just get like unfortunately, the only hockey masks you're gonna be able to find actually are gonna be like the ones that are already painted. So you need to get yourself like a Darcy Kemper mask, not one of the dumb masks. Some of these guys have like cartoon characters on them, like Snoopy and shit. You don't want one of those. You want
No.
one like
Yeah, that's
Hobby Boolin had a brick wall. Like that might
yeah,
suit you
that's
well.
too fancy. No, I want a Jason mask.
Right. Like a
My
Dominic
entire
Hot.
dread shoulder
Yeah, like a
pads.
Hasek mask from like 98.
Yeah.
Like he kept the white mask around for a while.
I'm gonna have to shave my chest though, so I can go bare chested with the tire shoulder pads and the mask.
Right.
Who is
You could.
that? Who is that, Lord Homunculus or something?
Yeah, something like that. All this body armor, but then nothing protecting his chest.
From Road Warrior.
Right. I already got a text from a buddy who lives in Mesa because. The Southern Villa for me is located very close to the state capitol building. Close enough that the overflow parking, whenever they have protests there, park in the same parking lot as I park in when I'm in the Southern Villa.
Hope they're charging for that.
So they're not, but they should. I should do it. I should just cash in on these idiots.
Yeah.
It's like a free parking lot for state employees. So it's free to any taxpayer, but I should just set up a chair and rope
Yeah,
off
put your
everything.
$5 sandwich board out there
Yeah.
and wave them in.
Yeah. Charge them Biden bucks.
Sell your Trump shit right there.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw something on Twitter like these two black kids in DC were selling a bunch of Trump merch and someone was giving them shit for it and they're like, "I don't give a fuck. These clowns are paying $100 for like a sweatshirt." They're just making money. Smart. What was I gonna say? Oh, so I have a friend that lives in Mesa who's already sent me a text saying like, "Oh, you could stay in our spare room if shit starts popping off at the Capitol." And at first, I was like, "Yeah, let's not be too bombastic about it." But then again, it is Arizona. Although they've already fenced up, they've already put a fence around the Arizona State Capitol building, all the way around
No
it.
offense.
But if a cop doesn't open it to let people in, it might actually keep people out.
I don't know. I think just a sniper on the roof with a big sign saying sniper would be more effective than a fence.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, yeah, we're not getting into this. Sorry, now everything's discombobulated today. I'm having a tough morning. Maybe I did concuss myself yesterday. Who knows? Okay, so here we go. So we have And it's been a rough week. How do young kids handle that? Are they aware of what happened last week? Because my kids didn't seem to think it was as big a deal as I thought it was. Me and my 20-year-old were like, holy shit, this is a coup attempt. But my teenager was like, nah, it's no big deal. So have your kids, what do they do? Are they even cognizant of it?
I mean, so yeah, watching it on TV, if you're watching it on TV, all the networks were just showed like people milling about outside the Capitol. And it wasn't until you started seeing all the fucking videos that these assholes were taking from the door and from inside and shit that you go, oh, right. My God, this is.
Yeah.
This is craziness.
Yeah. And then you hear later stories coming out later. It's just it was as bad as I imagined it could be. But then it just got worse when politicians started opening their mouths once everything was secure again. It's been nonsense. Anyways, we're recording during the day, and I can't justify my kids seeing me drink a bunch of beer during the day. Once the sun goes down, it's fine. So I'm going to do the beer portion of the show again tonight. I'm not doing it right now, but it is the first week of the Elite Eight in the budget beer bracket. So I'll record that tonight, and then I'll get our producer to edit that in. But yeah, I don't need to be crushing like 6 beers, 7 beers, and then coloring some family tree pages, but could improve them. Who knows? I haven't tried it because
Wait to listen to it.
Okay, welcome everyone to the first week of the second round of the Triple B Blind Beer Challenge. That's where I took 16 American domestic beers, although 3 of them were Mexican beers, but you know what I mean? Domestic lagers, essentially, and did a blind taste test to see which of these beers that are widely considered the most awful were actually the one I like most. So we're on to the Elite Eight now, where the 8 beers from the first round that moved on have been reseeded. So basically, the last 4 weeks, I've advanced 2, but the one that I've liked the most, I gave a star to. So the 4-starred beers from the last 4 episodes comprise the top 4 seeds based on sales data. So here we go. The number 1 seed remaining, Coors Light. The number 2 seed remaining, Natural Light. The number 3 seed remaining, Miller High Life. The number 4 seed remaining, Old Style. And then Bud Light, Budweiser, PBR, and Pacifico round out the 8. So the beers for me today were poured by a third party, impartial participant, i.e. my teenage son. And so I realized what I was doing with the first round was just whatever was easiest to drink became my number 1 beer. It just whatever had almost no bite to it, no flex to it, no nothing, became the beer that I always chose. So what I'm going to try to do this round and with the Elite Eight is I'm going to try to mix the easy drinking part with what actually has some flavor to it. So just because something's super easy drinking, but maybe something has a flavor that I don't quite hate, maybe that'll bump it up. So it'll be interesting. So today's beers are the number 1 seed Coors Light, the number 8 seed Pacifico, the number 3 seed Miller High Life, and the number 6 seed Budweiser. So I have, not that you can see, but I have 4 little cups in front of me. I'm going to sip on these, and then I'll come back at the end of the episode after Scott and I ramble on a bit more, and we'll see which two of these four advance into the final 4.
Just coffee. So anything exciting? I mean, the whole episode is essentially TikTok. I can't imagine what's exciting or what you've been watching that's exciting. Have you been doing anything to take your mind off of it, or been listening to podcasts or watching?
I've been watching everything I can find related to it.
Okay.
Like I just want to know everything about it. I've been listening to all of the floor speeches and the impeachment shit, and I have been consuming all of it, but I did find time to finish Watchmen on HBO Max. That was it. It's just the 1 season.
Yeah, it's like 7 episodes or something.
Yeah, and that's it. That's all there's going to be, apparently.
Right.
That's nice. I thought it was good. It was the same sort of irreverent, sort of subversive superhero content that I think there needs to be more of. Marvel has the market cornered on that real sort of mainstream, straightforward superheroics, yeah. And people stuff. Love it. And so there's so much room for stuff like The Boys and The Tick and Watchmen. There needs to be more of this stuff. People just need to get in there and do whatever they want to do. Because I thought it was really entertaining. It was interesting to watch. I think the first handful of episodes I thought were really like skillfully directed. They were very stylistic. There were some cool edits. And I feel like on the back half of the season it started to tone down and things got a little more just TV-y. I don't know what changed. I'm sure it was, you know, whoever was at the helm visually, I would argue, or I would bet, wasn't the same from beginning to end.
Yeah, I don't know exactly how they broke up like directing duties and writing duties, but I preferred it, and I thought it was stronger when it kind of just kept the Watchmen kind of graphic novel on the fringes and explored some of the lesser known characters and storyline, like essentially new storylines that would have spun off from that.
Yeah,
I thought towards the end it weakened itself by attaching itself to Dr. Manhattan. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Manhattan.
I think it was equally as interesting, but it wasn't, I don't know. It wasn't as impressive as its own thing, you know? But I don't know. I thought it all worked. It all felt organic. It felt like a continuation or an extension. It didn't feel forced or gimmicky.
Right.
Yeah. I guess John coming back to Earth felt a little gimmicky just to have him. Oh, because he came back for her. The whole concept of time with him is, on the surface, it feels so smart. It's like, oh, this is too sophisticated for my dummy brain. But then it's like, oh, he came back because he knew he was going to come back because he already lives in the future and he's already here. But why did he come back in the first place? You know, it's the Terminator question, you know.
Oh, speaking of Terminator, we'll go back to that in a minute. But yeah, it's like, I mean, it's like all great storytelling, though. Like Harry Potter knew he could cast the Patronus because he had already cast the Patronus. See,
right.
The best parts about time travel is knowing you can do something because you've already done it.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I thought that, it might have been a testament to how well the show was those first. I mean, I like the show as a whole, but really leading up to the reveal of Dr. Manhattan, I was upset with myself that I didn't see it coming when all the groundwork was kind of laid there. And I think it's a testament to how well the story was written that my mind never wandered enough to even think about. Like I was generally, when the reveal came, I was generally like, oh shit. And that normally doesn't happen to me because normally my storytelling brain is always like, oh, what would I do in this situation or what, you know, and I had it turned off for that sort of show, which I guess means it's a good show. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. It did the thing that I don't know. You still haven't seen Wonder Woman, right?
No, but that's okay. I don't think I will see Wonder Woman anytime soon.
Yeah. Well, there's one sort of like parallel that I think Watchmen handled, unsurprisingly, a little more adeptly than Wonder Woman 84.
Oh, are you talking about where she, just every dude she fucked is not, now not in existence anymore because she wanted to bring back Captain Kirk? Spoiler alert.
I don't know what that means.
Didn't that essentially, someone told me that she had a, like, she either had a one night stand with this guy or she basically traded one human for Captain Kirk.
Okay. So,
she murdered somebody on the face of the planet.
Yeah. And they did nothing with this thing. So her wish is to have Steve Trevor back. Right. So, sure. Because it's been 70 years and this guy that she knew for 2 weeks, she's still hung up.
Hey,
whatever.
You got what you got.
I guess. I mean, I guess it is Chris Pine. But right. She's also Gal Gadot. I'm sure she's got no shortage of choices. But her wish is to bring Steve Trevor back. So this, the MacGuffin is the wishing stone, and it's a monkey's paw situation. So she makes the wish, but you know, it can't just be straight up. You get what you get. So he comes back in another dude's body. So at first, we see him in the other dude's body and we're like, who is this guy? And then, you know, they do the spin around her. So it's the dude, then it goes behind her head and they come out the other side and it's Chris Pine's like, oh, she sees him now for who he really is. So the rest of the movie, we see him as Chris Pine and not random guy, so we don't ask the questions of what's going on with this, like,
yeah, what happened so to random guy?
Random guy's body. So she gets down with a random guy's body, so they use his body for sex and then put his body in all sorts of dangerous situations, and not once do either of them question, is this cool? Should we be doing this? What are the ethical implications of this? Does he have a family? What's happening?
So wait, as a viewer, then we're supposed to think that to everyone else in the world, he looks like random guy, not like Steve Trevor, who died 70
so
years
ago. He just goes off with her to do whatever. I'm sure he's been fired for not showing up at his job at this point. You know, is he going to get evicted? What's going on?
Was there backstory on random guy? Did he have a wife and kids? Or
there's you find out nothing. They go back to his house so they can do an 80s closed fashion show montage where he just tries on fanny packs and weird shirts and shit.
Okay, is it a small like a bachelor's apartment or is it a house?
It's like an apartment.
Okay. So maybe that's like, oh, we're good storytellers. This should tell you all you need to know.
But
about
I'm
this.
Sure he's got parents.
Yeah.
People that care about him. Maybe he has siblings.
Yeah. What's up with his best bro? Maybe they do a podcast together and then he just disappears off the face of the planet.
Yeah, like his sister just died and he's going to take legal custody of her kids. And he just missed some court appearance where this would happen, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. What if him... and another former lover's ex-boyfriend have to raise a daughter because the mom dies. And all of a sudden, it's not my two dads. It's one dad because the other guy's gone.
No. Now he's got to get in a jet and go fight CGI Kristen Wiig.
Cool. So speaking of just rewriting shit to make shit easy, or just writing shit to make shit easy, I tried to watch, I don't know which streaming service it was on, but last week I tried to watch Terminator Dark Fate.
Okay.
The newest Terminator. So again, this whole episode is going to be spoilers. Yeah. So basically 3 minutes, again, spoiler alert, 3 minutes into Terminator Dark Fate, they wipe out everything after T2. Oh, were you going to watch it?
That's the best one.
Right, I mean, after it. So it still happened.
Oh, so everything after 2 doesn't happen.
Right, but I can still ruin it for you if you want.
Oh, I don't care. I'm never going to see it.
Okay, so 3 minutes into Dark Fate, the Terminator shows up and kills Eddie Furlong. So it's like Terminator 2 still exists, but now it's completely pointless because that whole movie was to keep him alive. And now he's dead.
All right. Yeah, I don't know. At any point during this thing, do they go down the Star Trek thing? Do they create a Terminator Kelvin timeline?
I didn't get to the end of the movie because what had happened was
did you turn it off?
I did. What had happened was so after Arnold does this, apparently it's the end of Skynet. It should be the end of the Resistance, but then come because there's no John Connor.
Okay.
So then it comes to find out that everything still happened. Uprise of the Machines happened, but it's not Skynet anymore. It's a different AI. Exactly the same storyline, just not Skynet. Another company takes over and builds Terminators, and they take over humanity. Mm-hmm. And so they send back a new, not Terminator woman, but like enhanced woman. Like she's got Terminator tech in her, but she's human.
Okay.
But she runs like a car battery. Like you run her too hot, and then she's like, I need water. I need to rest. Like she's, you know, she's really
to flush her fluids.
Yeah, she's really good for like 5 minute bursts, and then she's done. But I do like that actress that they cast. She fills the role nicely, mostly because she's wearing a white tank top the whole time. But it's pretty good, and I'm on board with all of that until, well, first of all, old Linda Hamilton shows up. She's fine. She can't act her ass off, but she looks fine. She's a terrible actress. So she shows up. So then basically they follow these coordinates that they've been getting pinged to them to, like, essentially like Dutch's house in Commando, and Arnold Schwarzenegger comes out. Dressed like Dutch from Commando. He's wearing like a flannel button up, and like, you know, he's like a lumberjack and shit. And then
his name is John. Dutch is Predator.
Oh, sorry. Oh, yes. God damn it. Wait, are you sure?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, now I feel like an idiot, but I guess I started thinking about Alyssa Milano as soon as I started talking about that. Anyways, So basically the worst part of this movie is, and what made me turn it off was after the Terminator killed John Connor 22 years earlier or whatever, 25 years earlier, he didn't have any mission parameters. So he wasn't given any more orders. So over the next 25 years, he develops an AI conscience and like take care, like meets a woman and marries her and adopts her like child. And now he's just like a dude with a dog that lives in a cabin with like a woman and her son. And they even bring up the fact, like, how do you do it? And he said, it's not that kind of relationship. I just take care of them. And like, you know, she was abused, so she doesn't like men anymore. So they, you know, they just take care of each other. But there's like a scene where like, he's like getting his wife to like make them drinks and like salsa. Like they're having like guacamole and shit out on a patio. And I was like, fuck this. Like,
That's a new idea for the series.
Sure.
The idea of him completing the mission and then just being like, well, what now? That's interesting.
Yeah, but he could've...
Like, Cable comes back and kills Apocalypse. And it's like, all right, I'm here now. I guess I'll apply for jobs.
Yeah, they didn't say how he made his money, how he afforded this cabin and all this stuff, you know, because she was home in the middle of the day, his wife. So maybe it was a Saturday. Maybe she the breadwinner. I don't know. But I was so turned off by that, like just sort of like. I mean, because he wasn't even acting like a Terminator. Like he was acting just like, hey, man. Like, what's up, guys? Like, he's like using slang and like.
You said he has AI. So whatever.
I don't know. It was so dumb. I turned it off.
I think that's interesting.
Okay. Well, maybe you should watch it. If I watched it, it's obviously on something.
I don't care about the rest of it.
Must be on Prime. Just
talking about the idea, I find compelling. I have no interest in watching it.
Well, the parts I did watch, the action at least was good. Like, there were scenes where. You know, she's beating the shit out of a Terminator with like a car door and stuff. That's always fun. You know, that's some Hulk shit. So all I've been watching lately besides doom scrolling Twitter is like sci-fi shit on whatever channels. So caught up on the new season of The Expanse. Matt in our group chat mentioned that we should talk about how The Expanse is better than Star Wars.
Okay.
I don't have 3 hours today. I got pages to color.
I know it's a show. That's all I know.
Yeah, so it's kind of like it takes all the best parts of like it's like Space Truckers in space, like Mercenaries in space. It's like a, you know, they don't have like, I guess they might have FTL travel, I'm not sure, but most of the shit takes place like between Earth and Jupiter, so they don't like go faster than light.
Fort Lauderdale travel,
faster than light, FTL. Oh. Get on board. But so everything takes place between Earth and like Jupiter. Nothing's past there. So it's like we've colonized space. There's it's been long enough that the colony on Mars now considers themselves Martians. Their physiology has changed slightly to deal with gravity and stuff like that. So there's Earth people, there's Martians, and then there's like people who live on ships and colonies out past Mars who call themselves like Belters because they live in the belt. So it's like warring factions between these three groups, like a ragtag group of people on a ship, right and wrongs. It's like the A-team meets like aliens, but there's no aliens, except there is an alien, and that's the worst part of the show. Hopefully they're done with him. Like season four was all up in your head and psychological and shit. Like it tried to be too much, tried to get too weird. They got some gates now. Like a stargates that just float around that will transport you to other galaxies and shit. But so far in season five, they've kind of backed up off that shit and it's back to what I like pirate crews and mercenary crews and drinking, fucking, fighting, just in space.
Cool.
That should be the tagline. Drinking, fucking, and fighting, just in space.
Yeah, all right.
All five seasons cool. Available on Amazon Prime.
I mean, I'm not interested, but if I turned it on, I would probably watch it.
If it had a Bigfoot, you'd be interested.
Right. If it had Zach Baggins, I'd watch it.
Sounds like a sex thing. Oh, I pulled a Zach Baggins on her last night.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I didn't have any interest in Game of Thrones, but I have HBO Max, so I started that. I don't know how much interest I have in it right now.
Uh-huh.
7-8 episodes in, I guess. And I could turn it off and never watch it again, but what the fuck else am I going to do? And I've got it. So.
Yeah. You could also watch The Wire. That's on HBO Max.
I've seen The Wire all the way through. Oh, okay.
I think we've talked about this. I think you tell me constantly you have seen it. Whatever. Well, I started watching another show that has a tie into Game of Thrones. Have you gotten to... I don't know if he's in the first season or not, but Littlefinger, the guy who runs the brothel and shit, is he in season one of Game of Thrones?
He's in Dark Knight Rises.
Was he?
Yeah, I keep seeing... That's all I think about when I see him.
Oh, okay.
Who was he was the CIA guy who captured Bane in the beginning on the plane.
Oh, that didn't... His role didn't last long in Dark Knight Rises. I have Peacock Premium, which is like another streaming app. I had to get it to watch some Everton football games, you know, as one does. So I paid for it for a month. And then, so I was like, well, if I'm paying for this shitty service, I should watch something on it. So there's a show on there called Project Blue Book, and he's the star of it. And it's apparently based on the real journal recordings of some dude who was on Project Blue Book in the 50s, deny like space shit. Like if there was like, oh, we saw a flying saucer, they would go there and investigate it. And he would try to figure out what you actually saw instead of that. So it's got like X-Files vibes, but set in like the 50s without all the dumb shit that Mulder and Scully do. So it's okay. It's pretty good. It's safe. It's like a History Channel show, but it's not real. I mean, it can't be real history. I mean, maybe it is, but you know what I mean? Like it's not. You're not learning about like historical facts.
Sure. It's a period piece, but it's
right.
Yeah, it's historical fiction.
Right. So what they show the viewer is like it looks like a flying saucer, or it looks like an alien coming out of a flying saucer. And then he'll, you know, be like, oh, it was a fucking owl or something, not an alien. But you know, it does have the X-Files vibe where like there's shit going on behind the scenes. There's like a government conspiracy.
That's interesting. Yeah. That's almost like anti-X-Files, because doing my rewatch, I'm into season three somewhere at some point of X-Files. And I'm so fucking sick of Mulder and him always being right. Like Scully will say, Mulder, you can't believe, you know, this dog man, you know, possesses telekinetic abilities during the full moon. And Mulder will spout off some shit like, oh, well, some people believe this and this and this, and then they'll get to the end of the episode and that'll be exactly it. But every episode starts with Mulder, you can't be serious. It's like, fucking Christ, Scully, you're 50 episodes into this. He's been right every goddamn time. How are you still saying this?
Also, though, how can, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't Scully, don't they have storylines where she's religious, right? Like, I think
she's the best part of the show.
There's an aspect to her character where she's religious. Like, she believes in a higher, so she does believe in a higher power, but she finds it inconceivable that there's aliens and spaceships and shit. But she has no problem believing that her Lord and Savior.
Right. Yeah. All of the best episodes deal with that sort of thing. Whenever they're Scully centric, they're interesting.
Right.
And Mulder is just a part. I thought Mulder was so cool when I was a kid. I was like, oh, he's so funny. And oh, he's so clever. He's so just cute. An insufferable prick the whole time.
That's like every show he's on. I watched Californication when I had like HBO way but long time ago, or Showtime or some shit. And all he does is like screw his way through Hollywood or whatever, but he's not a good guy at all throughout the whole series. He just straight up, and he gets what he wants. Like, he has a super hot ex-wife and he just bangs his way through like models and like strippers and stuff that are way too hot for him. And then he's like, oh, but I want you, honey. Like, I really want you. And then he gets her in the end. He gets everything he wants and got to bang like 50 hot chicks over the course of like four seasons.
No.
It's not fair. He
gets her in the end. Also at the end of the show.
Yeah. Well, no, there's a couple times where she just can't stay away from him. So they have trysts throughout
the series. Oh, yeah. I mean, look at him.
Yeah.
He's a dreamboat. That's David Duchovny.
Also,
God, it's horrible.
Interesting guest star in like the second or third episode of Project Blue Book is the surviving victim of Buffalo Bill from Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, really? The senator's daughter?
Couch girl, yeah. She plays a mother. Shocker. I mean, whatever. Hmm. But yeah, keep that in mind. What else have I been watching that's sci-fi? Oh, have you ever heard of a show called Counterpart? It made all these lists. Of like best sci-fi shows. Only ran for two seasons on Amazon, but it's J. Jonah Jameson. It's that guy.
That J.K. does Simmons.
Yeah, so J.K. Simmons, and he plays just like
getting Simmons,
and he plays a spy. But like it's in a world where, oh wait, you might want to watch it. I don't want to spoil it for you. Tell me
what it's about.
It's got a Fringe vibe to it, man. It's good. Basically like fucking around with like East German scientists in like the late 80s fucking around with shit. Did something where basically the universe split into two and a gate was created kind of like in East Berlin. That basically two worlds that perfectly mirror each other were created. So at that point, like everything that happens in one world, almost the exact same shit happens in the other world, but with just sometimes slight differences. So like
did you already say it's like Fringe?
Yeah. So it's like, in one Earth, he's like a data technician for this company that he doesn't even know. You got a cat climbing on your cage back there. He's like a data technician for a company, but he doesn't know that there's a portal under there. He just does work because he's getting paid and he just files these things and doesn't know shit. But in the other mirror world, he's like a top level, like spy for that company. And so they got to come over and they got to travel between, basically walk between these two gates under like a subway station or something. But it's interesting because he plays like a badass in one world and like a kind of like a beta kind of like sweater wearing dude in the other world, I guess.
Uh-huh.
Not there's anything wrong with that. I wear sweaters all the time and I'm a beta, but it's kind of cool to see him act in two different scenarios that way. And then every major character for the most part has like a duplicate. So it's good. And it's only like 16 episodes because it's Prime.
Okay.
Yeah. It's really, really well done. Really highly regarded.
God, I'm just not interested in anything until I'm exposed to something that I have to give it my attention. I'm just like,
you're not like me. Like when I finish a show and I'm bored, you don't just Google like best sci-fi shows on streaming right now and just give it a shot.
No.
Best Bigfoot show streaming right now. Did you get Discovery Plus so you can watch all the Bigfoot and alien shows you want?
No, a lot of people are really upset about this though. It's like, yeah, does Discovery Plus need to be a thing? Like I understand like HBO or Showtime or whatever, all these fucking channels, that these premium channels that you're paying to add to your thing anyway, but this streaming service nonsense is out of control. Insanity.
Well, I was thinking about that when I'm watching a show made for Peacock Premium, which has the worst interface. Like I have to hit my screen like 7 times to get it to pop up so I can pause it or something like that. Why not, if what they really want to do is make money on these streaming shows, why not take all their stupid ass reality shows that are the number one hits, put those on the paid streaming service, and then just run like television shows on the free NBC channel. Like if what you want to do is make money, like if Fox did their stupid Masked Dancer and Masked Singer shows as pay-per-views, they would make fucking a bajillion dollars. But instead they just do it on like regular TV and then they put garbage on their paid platforms.
I would be interested in knowing what the fiscal opportunity is for these sorts of things. Like if you sit down and turn on your cable or whatever, you have 300 channels. Would these 300 networks go to streaming services? I mean, C-SPAN. I'm going to pay $14 a month to watch C-SPAN.
Right, but you'll get 17 C-SPANs.
But it's going to go there.
Right. What I'm waiting for is as someone who now has to pay yet another service, to watch my hometown hockey team, because the service I pay for now doesn't carry that specific channel.
Yeah.
Why can't we just get a service together where you pay per channel? Fox Sports Arizona is $5 a month, but then ABC is like 50 cents a month, and just like make your own. Because with Hulu Live, I get like 60 something channels. We watch like 3 of them or 4 of them. So why can't I just build my own bundle of streaming shit? It drives me nuts. I mean, I have more streaming shit going on right now. I forget what I have until I get billed for it. Like Peacock Premium, Disney, Hulu. What else? Netflix. Like, I don't even know until I get a bill for it. ESPN. You know, I'm just driving me nuts. Also, I can watch sports that are on different fucking networks and satellites of different networks.
I hate all of it,
but I got to watch my sports. Hockey starts tonight, so I'm super pumped, even though I'm going to pay an arm and a leg to watch the games for a team that is probably in a rebuild mode. I'm an idiot.
Perpetually in a rebuild mode.
Come on, made the playoffs last year for the first time in 8 years. Won a round.
Sure.
Yeah. Got a trivia question for you since you love Star Wars so much. Where was the Sarlacc pit scene filmed?
Where was the scene filmed?
Uh-huh.
Oh. I don't know. Was it in California somewhere?
It was in California, specifically at the Glamis Dunes. Guess where I'm going to be Saturday afternoon.
Prescott.
Good guess. I'm going to be checking out the Glamis Dunes. Yeah. Yeah, like last
summer. I did not think those two things were related.
Last summer, like a dum-dum, I took a bunch of original art down to the city of Yuma to put in their museum gallery thing for a show they were doing. And it's time for me to go pick my shit up, which I'm sure is not going to come with a fat check for the pages that sold. I'm sure there will be zero check. But since I got to go to Yuma anyways, and California has recreational weed.
Dunes. Oh.
Oh, yeah. I thought, why not take a little trip to California so I could take a little trip later that night. So, right, like, you know, pretty close to Yuma in, inside the Imperial Valley of Arizona are the Glamis Dunes. So I'm going to go check those out. It's like the biggest dune field outside of, like, Africa. So that should be fun.
If that's, say you've been there.
I've been to the Sarlacc pit.
So when all the cool kids at lunch are sitting around the table shitting on people because they haven't been to the Glamis Dunes, you'll be like, yo.
Yeah, I've been there.
I'm hip.
Yeah, where Boba Fett should have died. And then the next day on our way out of town, we're going to go to the, we're going to drive by the Salton Sea. Do you know what that is?
No.
So the Salton Sea is the largest inland sea in California, but it's been, it was the dam or some shit was built like 30 years ago. So it's been dying for 30 years. So the best part about it is apparently it reeks of like dead fish all the time because they're just, the water recedes and they just die. And so it just smells like rotting shit. And it's like a Mad Max wasteland for like, there's communities out there of like quote unquote artists that just like live like, you know, they live in like trailers and all they do is like build shit out of like beer cans and stuff, but like totally off the grid and shit. So we're going to go by there. It's going to be fun. I'm excited. It's a place I've wanted to visit for a long time. There's going to be like rotting boats everywhere and shit. It's going to be like being like in fucking Mad Max. I'm excited.
That's awesome.
I don't think my wife is very excited, but I am. Yeah. I need to get her some of that petroleum shit, like on Dexter or whatever you put under your nose. You don't smell the dead bodies.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Well, maybe we should wrap this up, but before we do that, we'll cut over. We'll do, this is why we pay our editor big bucks. We'll cut over. We'll talk about the first round of the Elite Eight. Mm. Do you want to hear which eight beers advanced?
Well, I will listen and find out.
Okay. Considering all four of these beers made it into the second round, I had a tough time today because none of these beers were great. You know, maybe it's Thursday feels. Who knows what it is? Maybe I'm so excited for tonight's game, Coyotes game. Yeah, whatever. And that's my scarf. Excellent content for you listeners. But yeah, none of these beers, Coors Light, Pacifico, Miller High Life, or Budweiser really did anything for me today. I had a tough time picking two winners. So let's just go down the list here. Let me pull out of my pocket. So beer A, my tasting notes were that it was unremarkable and would not be good warm. As it warmed up, it became worse and worse and worse. Beer A is Coors Light. Wow, Coors Light, the overall number one seed, that is true, is gone. Coors Light is out. Okay. Beer B, my only note is sweet smell. So it had a real sweet smell to it. And then just a bunch of question marks. So it at least had something to it. I'm not quite sure what it was. But Beer B moved on to the final four. And Beer B is Budweiser, Bud Heavy. All right. I had a feeling Bud Heavy might make it kind of far in this tournament. So beer C, my notes are faint smell, so very light smell, a little bit of nose, and slightly sour. And beer C did not advance. And beer C was Miller High Life. Now, to be fair, I didn't discount this beer because I had a feeling it was High Life. But just by looking at it and the way it smelled, I had a feeling this was High Life. I wrote that down in my notes. So High Life's off the board. High Life was also a top seed. High Life was the third seed. And so that leaves Beer D, Pacifico. That is also advancing. My notes are a sweet smell, slightly sour, but at least something is happening. There's at least trying to be a flavor profile there. So there we go. In today's event, we have, we have Budweiser and Pacifico moving on, and Coors Light and Miller High Life dropping. Two top seeds are out. Two of the three top seeds are out, and two of the lower seeds have advanced. Hey, man, it's a wacky world. Anything can happen day to day. You know, somebody gets hurt. You know, someone's on COVID protocols. They can't play. They can't show up that day. Who knows? Maybe I have COVID now. Maybe I can't smell anything. But that's where we're at now with Pacifico and Bud Heavy advancing to the final four. Another shocker in the first week of the Elite Eight.
Wow. I mean,
who could see this shit coming? But yeah, we're moving on. Only three more weeks left of this thing. Thank God. If there's anyone on the planet that cares about it less than me, it's you. But again, thank you for watching those segments so you could stay caught up in all things, illustrious gentlemen. Anything else, Scott? Anything fun to announce? Anything cool?
No, nothing cool. Nothing fun.
Are we gonna see Future State House of L number one on February 23rd?
Yeah. So check it.
Yeah, I've kind of been enjoying it. I picked up Dark Detective number one yesterday, and it's got a Dan Moore Batman, which at some point on this show I talked about how I'd like to see Dan Moore on Batman.
Yeah.
But even the backup story is like a grifter story with an artist that I normally wouldn't follow. Grifter's my guy. I'm into that shit. There's a panel where he finally puts the mask on, and I'm like, fuck yeah. Give me all the Grifter, all of it.
Oh, yeah. I wonder now. I should email my editor, be like, me, Wildcats, let's make it happen.
Let's do it. Yeah, I mean, they were going to do the reboot, or I guess they did a reboot. Or no, they were going to do a new reboot, and then it got canceled. So yeah, Cole Cash.
I'm going to draw some Damonites.
Yeah. And,
whatever else was in Wildcats.
Hellspont.
I don't know what a spont is, but I dig it.
Yeah, be fun. But yeah, it was great to see. I don't know what it is about that character. I just like Grifter.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Hellspont.
No, I don't know anything about Hellspont, except that his mouth breathed like fake fire.
Like, yeah, his head's fire. So yeah, it's like, oh.
Like Ghost Rider.
I really wish there was a character that combined Ghost Rider and Wolverine. It's like, oh, have I got something for you?
Right, with enough spikes to make Strife jealous. All right, dude. Anything else? Nothing else. Come on.
No, nothing.
Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule.
No, thank you.
To be on your own podcast. I appreciate it. All right, send us home.
Yeah, fuck us.
Fuck us.